Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So just to kick things off, we've got a bit of fan mail.
Oh, do we, should we open it first now?
Yeah.
Hey, so Dane, can I just tell you something? You are in the presence of greatness right now.
Well aware.
Well, no, not just because you're in front of Francis and myself and most people. You know, they're honoured because they think we're cool and things like that. But, you know, whatever. But we send out a little thing on our podcast saying, hey, if you want to send us some fan mail.
Send it to 79 to 81 Borough Road, London, SE11DN.
And they sent some. However, two things about this. Firstly, we've never received some fan mail, so this is the first time ever.
Cool.
It would be weird if you had sent it pre this and it was actually from you. But also, it says open on air, which actually scares us. So if you die, I really apologise.
I lived the way I wanted. I'm sad.
Hey, you died doing what you love.
Exactly. And I want to say...
doing private... Yeah, what do you want to say before?
If anything, in my last words should be, love conquers all, love over money. Money can never be your god.
Oh, yeah, dude, listen, I think we have a connection.
We have a connection.
Dude, okay, I don't want to be... My one is, I don't want to be the richest person in the graveyard.
That's, I like that. That's
there really we good. Go, man, 100%.
Is that why you're so bad with money?
No, but I feel like you've got to give over whatever knowledge you have, love, wealth, power, love, wealth. I just put to go for more. Humour, whatever it is.
Before you die.
Give
and
everything.
You know, give everything.
That's how you achieve true immortality.
Oh, because Socrates said there are two levels of... oh my God, we're getting so deep. I love this shit. Socrates said there's two levels of happiness, lower level and higher level. The lower level is power, wealth, all those kind of things. And the higher level is self-awareness, love to other people, being kind, all that kind of stuff. And people think they want to get the lower level, but in fact the higher level is the one you want to achieve, and you don't realize that until the end of death, motherfuckers.
That's nice.
Eudaimonia.
Anyway, open it up, Francis. So we have this little letter. Why are you aiming it at me? Don't aim it at me. Shouting anthrax. Here we go.
Okay. Someone has knitted us. They look like nipple coasters.
Okay, here we go. So I'm going to read this out. It's a lovely little card that says freedom. It says censored of speech. Freedom of speech. Love that. Okay. Hi, guys. I'm a massive fan of the podcast. Always a good laugh, but strangely informative too. Well, you're going to love this one then. Came to see the tour in Liverpool and won the naked Polaroid of Jamie. Thanks for that. In return, here are two Crockett booed...
Crocheted
boob coasters I made. I sell them on my estate and £1 goes to Copper Feel. Enjoy, Liv.
Etsy.
Liv Daisy Design. Hey, that Liv, thank you so much. That is so good.
That's kind. So great.
Hey, Dane, I'm going to give one to you, man.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. That's
thank
for you.
You.
So we're going to have this one we can keep here.
Well,
and that's
for
you.
This is my one. You give your one away.
No, we share that. We give it to our guests. Obviously, Dane's gets one.
Yeah, well.
I feel like if Liv got it for you, then I'm happy to have just enjoyed the experience of that. So you can have that one.
No, I want you to have it.
Will Liv be okay with that?
Liv, you'll be fine with it. Yes, she said. Perfect. Okay. Hey, Liv, thank you so much. We'll post this on our Instagram. You are so kind. If you ever want to send us some mail, please send it to 79 to 81 Borough Road, SE1.
1DN. There I hope go. I don't spill coffee on my nipple coaster.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We're still joined with the wonderful, the marvellous Dane Baptiste.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Oh, what's up, man? Hey, listen, I want to carry on with this whole idea of self-awareness because I think it's so important. And we haven't really actually ever discussed this idea of self-awareness on the podcast. But it's so true. Like I was saying to you, I have a problem sometimes where I'm almost too aware that I read into situations.
Arrogant. No.
Power through it, Jamie. Power through it. You'll power through that.
But I do, man. And so, like you said, sometimes I wish I wasn't like that because I can read situations so well. So I know if someone's feeling a bit awkward or a bit this or a bit that. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I just wish I was more aloof and more naive to these things. What do you think, Francis?
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're. I think sometimes you're just too self-aware.
I watched this amazing YouTube. I think it was a YouTube video where... they got a bunch of kids together. They got black kids, they got white kids, they got Asian kids, they got all these different ones, and they sat there next to each other. They said, "Well, so Hannah, what do you think's different about to Tom to you?" And Tom would be black, and Hannah would be white. And she goes, "Oh, well, he's really naughty in class." And the fact is, they're so naive to anything else. They just see each other as like these individuals, which is such a great way to be.
Yeah.
Do you not think?
But I do. But on the one hand, I mean, we may put it down to naivety, but at the same time, they are actually maybe they're more advanced because then. They're not focusing on the aesthetic or the superficial. It doesn't matter. So she's actually at least she is making a commentary about his character rather than a commentary on his appearance. Which means, you know, kids for a long time at least they're aware your appearance doesn't predispose you to act a certain way. It's again more suggestion that begins to make them think that they associate like something with a particular aesthetic. So even though you know we're saying kids lack a certain level, they may lack experience. But, you know, it doesn't mean they're any less intelligent because really, arguably, their rate of growth or their brain growth or replication of brain cells is happening at a much quicker rate than someone that's older than them. So because they're not limited by their way of thinking, they just they think whatever the hell they want.
But we have this problem, right? Not me, I can care less. But we have this, we have this problem about our aesthetics, how we look. And there's this huge thing about
you definitely.
I don't care. Couldn't care less. Could not think twice about the way I look.
Botox built out differences differently.
And I've had a hair transplant. But yeah, but couldn't care. Couldn't care, man. Who cares?
Well, now you don't have to because you're back on top.
Back on top.
Yeah, but it's a slippery slope.
I'm back. But I saw this amazing, and you again should YouTube it. All the listeners go and YouTube this amazing thing. Where,
but not now, later.
You know, not right now, but later. Don't pause us. But there's a really cool thing where it was a Dove advert where they got these bunch of women to come in and they sat in there and someone who, what are the name of those people who... they sketch. So if someone's committed a crime, they've seen the criminal, they say, oh, what was his nose like? And they just try and sketch out the person. Not a hetcher sketch. But it's a,
they just draw his
sketch
nose.
It's a sketch artist.
It's sketch artist, yeah. Right? So these people come and sit down and there's a curtain in between them and the artist. And the artist says, well, tell me about your nose and tell me about your hair and tell me about your face and tell me about your eyes and tell me about these different things. And they sketch it out and then the person finishes the sketcher and they walk away without seeing each other. Then another person comes in and they have just met the person sitting before, let's say Hannah again. So they met Hannah. The person comes and sits down and sits next to the sketch artist. And the sketch artist says, well, tell me about Hannah who you just met. I didn't say, but tell me about Hannah. And he says, well, Hannah's this. And he says, tell me about her nose. Tell me about her hair. Tell me about her head. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And then what happens is at the end is they Hannah and the friend come in and they put the two sketches next to each other. And it's how you perceive yourself and how other people perceive you. Mm-hmm. And obviously how what happens is what's so wonderful and beautiful is how the other person perceives that person is so more beautiful. Always, and it's so more defined, it's so more great.
Well,
and
because they're telling them how to draw them.
Well, the person who's sitting in the chair who's talking about themselves is talking about all... Because what you do is you focus... They say, well, what's your nose like? And they go, well, my nose is quite big. And you do that kind of thing. Where someone who... If I just meet you, Francis, and they say, well, tell me about Francis' eyes. I go, oh my God, they're so green, they're so open, they're so lovely, they're so wide. Oh. But do you know what I mean? But isn't that true what people do? And for some reason we have this hidden, like driven insecurities within us.
Well, we focus on the the imperfections, right? We're kind of because you naturally compare yourself to
people who are.
But yeah. Why? Why
well,
do
just
you do
because
that?
I guess it's an instinctive thing.
As a, well, there's a theory on it. A very smart woman told me once. She said that the issue with human beings is that we were never meant to see ourselves like in mirrors and stuff. Normally, if most organisms would only see themselves as reflections of water. So there's a certain level of nature to it. And it's only because we have mirrors and stuff and we've become aware of our appearance.
Awareness again.
Exactly. So now because we're too aware, we've become so focused on it. And this is where we do start picking up on imperfections and stuff. Whereas we only see our reflection normally naturally in water. And oh, you may catch it, but not... Because when you see animals and stuff, they're like always... When they see mirrors, they're like, what the hell? And sometimes they'll
have
look around...
Have you seen gorillas and stuff like that?
Yeah, so they can't get their heads around it. So it's... Yeah, so... Because we've never, again, it's down to, like I said, it's about self-awareness, but also, again, about projection in that we will try and look at, try and find parts of ourselves or aspire to parts of ourselves that we see in other people, which is why most time when artists, when they're doing, like, portraits or drawing other people, you can normally work out what that person looks like because it's very, most portrait artists will, you'll see their features will appear. So it might even be, like, the distance between their eyes will always be very similar. And you can always, especially with people who are less experienced, you can always see themselves because most portraits are because you can only use yourself as a basis when you're drawing stuff. Yeah, yeah. So most people, you can see them part of themselves.
Part of themselves in the actual picture.
Yeah, and even if they're drawing somebody else.
But does that, because going back to your comedy and things like that, and you, I just love the fact that you worked in jobs that you didn't really like and then you decided...
Oh, I hated them.
But why did you hate them so much, the jobs that you were doing?
Well, I just think it was just... The same thing. It was just these questions I had about the world and the and life, and you know, you just think. I don't think I'm particularly special. It was just that I just continued to entertain these questions that most people have, and I think most of us, when you're working in a certain situation, you might be like, well, why am I? So, like, someone might work in recruitment, for example, and it might be like your target if you're working in sales, like you got to make 50 grand this month, but your salary is like 30 grand. So then you think to yourself, well, why would I make more money than I'm even earning for somebody else? Mm. And then you start thinking, well, why am I working for somebody else? And
that's what we always say.
Yeah, because then you start thinking about the whole process of like working in like hierarchy.
Well, you're making someone else successful. Why, yeah. And why would you not try, even if you're not earning as much, why would you want to
well, I mean, I think else? I think on that, there are also different temperaments. And some people actually don't want to, you know, have the responsibility of...
Again,
they
yeah,
want the security.
They want the security. And so I think it's horses for courses. There are some people who maybe are less... predisposed to take authority and handle it, you know, in a positive way, and you know, maybe react negatively to it. And there are other people who want that steady security, that paycheck coming every month, and are quite happy to help. And you need both in a world to make the world operate.
Yeah, because I don't emphasize it in terms of like being individual and like I'm just about how much I want to make and what I want to do. But it's more of a question of. Is what I'm doing like benefiting myself? Because by that token, there are some people who might like, I just want to keep my head down, I might want to work. But then it's like that person, because you look at the structure of working within industry, it's not necessarily a meritocracy whereby someone might be like, I'm just a person that like, I don't know, does the cement. But I might just really just stand by the cement mixer. But you're still an integral part of that model.
Yeah, an important part.
Yeah, you're an important part of it. But at the same time, it's like, unfortunately, we don't have a system whereby someone would identify that potential and be like, this guy's really good with making cement, so we should employ it. So because you have a situation whereby, because so much of it's based on hierarchy, people create a corporate environment which is comfortable for them, not necessarily optimal for that company. So even in a company where the idea is obviously maximizing profit, there may be people within a company who would be able to enable that. But if they have a middle manager who's like, well, I can't put that person, promote that person above me because they make my job easier, then you're going to have a system of inefficiency just because, you know...
Like called managerialism.
Yeah, yeah.
So speaking of questions, we actually need to have, well, the answer to the question of the week.
Ooh.
And perhaps actually first we can have your diary, Jamie.
Well, I think we have the answer to the question first, if I was you, man. Because I'm just quite excited. I want to know how many questions a four-year-old asks a day. Now, Dane, you said 1,000, which I think you are way off, buddy.
I think so. But
why not? Way off.
But why not?
I think you as a child would have asked 1,000
questions. Yeah, I'm
talking
about myself, yeah.
But I think the normal child would have asked 600, like I said. Francis, give us the answer.
This doesn't happen very often, but the answer is actually 400.
Oh, I was so close.
Which is weirdly the difference between both of our answers.
Yeah. What? Yes, it was.
So
you need to get your calculator out.
Yeah. Can I just work that out again?
Oh, yes,
yes, it is. That is weird.
Yeah. That's freaky.
That is freaky.
So
they ask, on average, they ask 400 questions a day.
Yeah. What? Who knows if they're asking the same ones more than once, but I presume that's just the questions, individual questions.
Okay.
So on that note, 4-year-olds, should we have your diary?
Let's have my diary. Tell me all the 4-year-olds that are listening.
Francis, are you're enjoying your nipple coaster,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, look, he's just playing with his nipple coaster.
I've actually twiddled the nipple so much it's getting lint, like there's little lint pool.
Exactly, and I'm trying to work out if there's something either or sexual.
Well, no.
Or comforting for you.
It's kind of like I don't know, it's kind of...
Liv, can I just say, I mean, good areolae ratio there.
Yeah.
But then at the same time... there's no such thing as the perfect breast, so yeah, it's all good. True. Just, you know.
Do you know what, Dane? Areola is my favourite dip as well.
Really?
Nice.
Isn't that Areola Grande is my favourite scene.
Alioli. That's my little pun I was going with.
I liked it. We all liked it, Jamie.
Believe
in yourself.
Hey, listen. I'm not getting self-conscious. I just say,
just be more self-aware.
Hey, all the listeners are cracking up right now.
Get that areola out. Free it.
Saturday. One of the best things about being on TV on a TV show is obviously not being super famous, but the travel that you get to explore. Barbados, Ibiza, France, you name it. But this time we're flying to South Africa, Cape Town. I got onto the flight ready to go. As the seatbelt sign went off, I went straight to the bathroom to take a pee. I relieved myself sufficiently. As I leant over the loo to flush, my new iPod wireless headphones I had just bought in the airport flushed down with my remains.
Your remains?
Yeah, my remains.
Did you murder someone in there?
They are the fourth pair I've lost. This has to be some sort of sign. Going to keep it short and sweet just there. Yeah,
You'll find them.
I went into it,
shot out of the plane.
When I go into the plane bathroom and I press the loo button, it actually scares me. Doesn't it scare? Everyone's like, oh my god, what is that?
You always know it's coming.
Yeah, but
it's always scary.
It's a very guttural sound, isn't it?
Yeah. And you feel like it's going to suck you down there.
Yeah. And there was always that rumor and I don't think I've ever done it. Two rumors I always heard as a kid that I've never actually done. One, if you sneeze with your eyes open, your eyes pop out.
I had that one.
But if you do it when you're sitting down, it pulls your anus.
Yeah, that's what you have. And if you press the flusher when you sit on the loo, your anus
gets quite prolapsed.
So
yours would be particularly susceptible to that, wouldn't it?
So I get
that's why you always stand up.
Yeah, that's why. But so I'm always terrified. So they fell out and fell into the thing and went, oh, gone. And I was like, are you fucking joking? So where have they just gone to? So I said to the airs, I said, my headphones just fallen down. Your loo, and they went.
You're trying to invite her into the.
Come in here, so I can murder you and find your remains.
Oh my god! I mean, that's not how the Mile High Club goes, Jamie.
I joined the Mile High Club.
That's a different club. Yeah. That's.
But what also was,
and you'd get found out. And you'd be like, yeah. Yeah. He was trying to flush
her down.
Very short-lived murder spree.
It would be safe. But I was in South Africa, and I had this other time where I went to a place called Long Street. And I was walking down there, and these guys came up to me. And they started sort of circling me. And then I thought they said, oh, let's play a game. And I was like, oh, this is a fun game. And they were throwing me things, and I was throwing it back to them. And then one guy came and tickled me. And I went, oh, and I tickled him back. And then I put it in my pocket, and my phones are gone.
This just happened.
Just happened. And I was like, oh, wait, that was clever.
That happened to me in Argentina. They took my wallet and my... In my BlackBerry, I had hailed down this taxi and the taxi stopped, and I've told this story before.
You haven't told me this.
Yeah, and then I was running after the taxi, and then they all got out, and I was like, then they started like basically fondling me, and I was like, I love Argentina. This is great.
Oh my god,
so friendly in Buenos Aires. And then they all got back in. And I was like, hey, that's my taxi. I just held that. And then suddenly I was like, oh no,
oh no.
And then so I literally sprinted after them. And luckily there was a red light at the end of the road. So I caught up to them, jumped on the bonnet, and was like banging on the on the window.
This is amazing.
And the taxi driver was yelling at me in Spanish. And then my friend who was running up from behind, said, oh, they've dropped your stuff, and they dropped it out of, because they were afraid of me, they dropped it out of the door, and then I got out and picked it up, and then they drove off, and I did not find a taxi that night, so we had to walk.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I love, Frances is one of those people who is amazing, where in that situation, I would back down. I wouldn't follow up. Frances would follow it up, which is a great way. You would run up, well, you did. You ran after the taxi and jumped on the bonnet. It's a great way.
I thought we had something. We were funneling each other and everything.
It was more, I was just so hurt.
Yeah, you made me feel handsome. Now you take it away. Yeah. That's messed up. Muy mal, muy mal. Yeah. Muy mal, mujeres.
Hey, that's it. You nailed it.
Hey, Francis, I think we have to have a bit of your diary, my friend.
Oh, all right.
We're excited for this.
I've got 2 days, but maybe I should just do one.
Will this diary entry beat the story I just heard? Because that was pretty cool. That was like an action scene.
Hey, well, we'll see.
I reckon just do a little snippet of one today. Here we go.
Tuesday. People sometimes ask me what it's like to be a top-level athlete. And I say to them that it's no cakewalk, and sometimes scientists ask if they can put all these wires on you and run these tests just to see what all the fuss is about.
No cakewalk, is that a saying?
Yeah.
No cakewalk. What does that mean?
Cakewalk.
What do you mean a cakewalk?
It's like no walk in the park.
When do you say
it's
that?
A figure of speech.
When do you say no walk in the park?
Well, because a cakewalk is...
I feel like it's because it's there's some link to, like, if you're going to go walk some cake, get some cake, it's pretty easy task.
Okay, look.
Okay. I don't think it's
I think
we need to establish it.
I get the idiomatic expression, but it's a healthy question to ask.
It's no cakewalk in the park.
No, Dan, I'm just saying. I'm a baker. I know how tough it is to make a cake, make it right, make it good. You have to follow instructions. Baking is a science. Cooking is an art. You have to be good at science to do that. So it's no walk in the park. It's actually a tricky thing.
It's no cakewalk in the park.
It's no glass of water in the park.
Today was one of those days when I had to succumb to this relentless pressure from sports scientists and agree to let them run their tests. They still can't seem to work out what makes me such a freak of nature, in a good way. But they did say that I have a very large, strong left ventricle, and that my natural testosterone levels are comparable to a well-sexed male silverback gorilla. So in answer to that question, I guess for me, being a top-level athlete and having a freakishly high testosterone level, it's just a matter of public record.
Hey, Dane, what do you want to say to that?
The sentence about having the equivalent libido of a silverback gorilla, that's as good as bum vinegar.
Yeah.
That's even
well sexed.
Honestly,
I have very high testosterone levels, off the charts. Apparently.
That's cool.
I'm going to be honest with you. For the past 3 months, I've had the testosterone levels of a panda. I've had nada. Isn't the pandas the ones that don't have sex?
Yeah.
I mean, they do, but not often enough to maintain their numbers.
Yeah. So. That's me. That's me. I'm not keeping my numbers up.
It's all good, man. You know, you got. See, I mean, the testosterone explains why you once you started with that nipple, you're like, I'm not going to finish.
Yeah, I can't help
you.
I'm actually ruining the nipple there.
I just want you to be aware, Francis, that that coaster will not orgasm.
No.
No matter how much you stimulate that nipple, that's all. But no, that's a really interesting diary entry, and interesting to hear about the ventricle as well.
Which one did you?
The left ventricle is the one that pumps the blood around to your muscles.
Hey, but which one do you like more, mine or Francis's?
Oh no, I enjoyed them equally for different reasons.
Yeah, but if you had to pick,
if I had to pick, I'd pick Francis's.
Hey, Dane, buddy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Absolute pleasure.
Honestly, man, from the bottom of my heart, that has really just made me G'd up for the week, for the day, for the year. I just feel great after that. So
you're going to go home and touch yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go home and masturbate. Can't wait.
Don't worry, as long as you're back, get that libido back up. That's all. You just need a little oomph, that's all.
I need a little bit of oomph from that boob coaster.
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 Boob Costa.
Yeah. Boob Costa is somewhere I would go. Yeah. One.
That's
just
where
once.
I would get my coffee.
Just once.
You would fly to Boob Costa and just have a holiday there.
I would go to Boob Costa. Or if...
Costa Boob.
Or if like you had a whole like chain of topless coffee shops. I'd go to that. Yeah, I would. Yeah. You know?
Hey, you'd have to have topless men as well.
Of course. There. I mean, I'd not say it was gender specific at all. You know? Whoever wants to work there, look, I'm not focused on the barista's appearances. How are they making this coffee? That's just a side thing. You
exactly.
Know?
If anything, it's a distraction.
Maybe gives you an additional choice for milk, but... Hey, some people are balking at the idea of breast milk. Now, I'm sorry, but we drink the milk of other species.
We drink the breast milk of cows, which is
a completely different species.
Weird.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes goats too. So I'm just saying, you know,
and sheep
and cats
and some people drink cat's milk. That's not something much. I mean,
just me.
You might do, but why not? If we can drink, it's still a mammal. So, but maybe more breast milk involved, high in antibodies.
Just everyone.
No, I didn't drink cat's milk, but I did see there's cat milk. In a packaged cat milk for cats, but it's not actually cat milk. I don't think. I think it's some sort of
probably like some kind of
synthetic
feline lactose based supplement.
I just thought, they've got everything these days. Is that really necessary? Was there a demand for that product?
I feel like if it was called pussy milk, that would be more of an energy drink.
I think we should. I think we should get.
There is actually a pussy energy.
There's pussy energy drink, but pussy milk.
Yeah.
Would be like a shot.
Just behind bum the vinegar. Bum vinegar.
With bum vinegar.
Oh, wait. Is that not called kombucha? Oh.
Hey, Dane, thank you so much for coming to the podcast and honestly the best. Hey, you can find you on Instagram.
Yes, sir. I am on all your good social networks. It's Dane Baptiste. Again, thank you so much for having me.
And did you going on tour?
This year I'm on touring, so I'm working on a new show, but I will
you
be...
You have your other show as well, Sunny D.
Yeah, so Sunny D is available on the BBC iPlayer, so please do check that out.
Sunny
and I also have I have a podcast called Dane Baptiste Question Everything, which I'd love you guys to do at some point when I start the new
we
season.
We would love that.
Because I record here too, so cool. It's a great place. And yeah, and just for clips and for tidbits and stuff, I'm on all your good socials, guys. So check it out and try before you buy. But I'd love to see you guys at a live gig. Bring your boob coasters.
Hey, and also
bring
if
your boob coasters.
If you're writing a new show, which you probably are doing, if you need a guy who can play many different roles and is pretty easy to work with, hit me up.
I will do.
Hey, Dane, what we like to do on the podcast is we ask our guests to leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Something inspirational. I don't know. I don't want to be the richest person in the graveyard. I really like that. That was good. I'm inspired by that.
Dude, Dane Baptiste, everybody. Thank you so much. Woo! See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, Quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.